This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. The spread of tents at the intersection of Massachusetts Avenue and Melniacast Boulevard will be no more. In an executive order, acting Boston Mayor Kim Janey has declared that they present a public health crisis and that the city will use existing laws to remove them. The order also makes it clear, though, that people won't be removed from tents unless there's a bed available where they can go. But what if people don't want to go? And what happens to their belongings? And are there enough beds? As is so often the case with this really difficult humanitarian crisis, a proposed solution raises a whole new set of questions, and we want to dive into them now. We're going to begin with Boston City Councilor Ricardo Arroyo, who is chair of the Council's Committee on Public Health. Councilor, I appreciate you joining us. Welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
So has the acting mayor done the right thing here, Councilor? Does she have support of the committee and the council on this?
So I think that the intent and the purpose in terms of what she's trying to accomplish here, which is to find actual suitable places for people to stay and to live that aren't in tents on the street, is admirable and certainly encouraged. I think the reality is, as so often is the case, when you start to get into a process like this, which sort of criminalizes to a certain extent homelessness and leads to the confiscation of personal belongings, there's often after effects or after impacts to that that can spiral. And one of the issues, and I just want to, for listeners, I was a public defender before I did this work. I am likely the only city councilor who has actually represented people who live or have lived on that section of Boston. And what I can tell you is it's incredibly destabilizing when all of your worldly possessions are confiscated. People lost medication the last time we did this. This is not the first time that we've proposed this. Operation Clean Sweep, which is awfully named, was instituted. Folks lost their IDs. They lost their ability to do any of the things that they needed to do to get into the next step of treatment or rehabilitation or housing. They lost their identification. They lost their medication. They lost their list of appointments. They lost all of those things. And so I think there's got to be a very careful sort of implementation of a ordinance like this.
So a couple of things there. First, Operation Clean Sweep, we covered it here on the show, summer of 2019, executed by the Boston Police Department to great controversy, as you've just laid out. I noted you called the intent admirable, and then basically, my words not yours, said the devil's in the details, and there's real risk to harm, criminalization, people losing property, et cetera. Is there a way to execute on this intent that doesn't do that harm? Or is this just one of those cases that's gnarly and difficult?
So here's one of the issues, right? So just to get into the details here a little bit. When people say, we're going to make sure that housing is available, we have not maximized yet the space in our house, in our homeless shelters. We haven't maximized, you know, it's hard to find a bed in terms of a rehab clinic or any of that, but they brought up homeless shelters. The problem with this, which is a practical problem, is many homeless shelters will not accept people who are currently using drugs. And so there's a number of hurdles. It's not enough to say there's a bed. There's a question about whether or not you are eligible for it. And so when we talk about sort of the implementation here, what I've pushed for is housing first, which was controversial. We've seen it flare up with Revere. We've seen it flare up at the Roundhouse, where we've seen this work in other states and other cities. Housing First is not a new policy. It was an attempt to address homelessness, but they found that it can also be helpful in addressing folks with addiction, because what Housing First means is that we find you housing and we provide you housing before you've gone through treatment, before you even signed up for treatment, before any of those things, because we understand that once you have a stabilized environment, once you have a place to live, then the treatment can work. You have a better success rate at being able to enter into a treatment facility and succeed, because the constant worry about where you're going to live, where you're going to sleep, all of the health risks that come with that, they're now no longer as pressing because we provided housing.
So
that's not something we've done.
So a couple of things there. First, again, for listeners, when you talk about Revere, I'm assuming what you mean is when Mayor Janey wanted to use 35 hotel rooms at the Quality Inn in Revere.
Exactly.
And Brian Arrigo, the mayor there, pushed back and said, there isn't a bigger plan here. This doesn't work for us. All right. So here we have this moment. You're arguing for Housing First. That has been used to success, as you say, for some challenges around homelessness. We also know that one of the things that's tough here is this is a complex humanitarian crisis. It deals with addiction, it deals with homelessness, poverty and marginalization, trauma, etc. So now this executive order is out there. So now what does the Committee on Public Health do to steer this in the direction that you're concerned it needs to go? What are your levers? What can you do here?
So I think part of the issue here is there's a push and pull between people who want this sort of, who believe that out of sight, out of mind is a solution, who believe that if you remove these tents and they don't see this concentration, then problem solved. And what I think we should be looking at this as is this is clearly a breakdown of our systems. That's what this is. When you're living on a tent on the street, that's a manifestation of a breakdown in our systems. And we don't solve it because we take the tent. We don't solve it because we take your belongings and we say move along. And in fact, with Operation Clean Sweep, because we've done this before, we have a track record of this not working. And what happened with Operation Clean Sweep, I believe within 72 hours, there was a request for people to come back to the area because the dispersal from that push people into neighborhoods that they had not previously been in, because just removing a tent doesn't solve homelessness. And even if I can secure you a bed for that day, those beds are not permanent. So in other words, I get you a bed for Thursday, you have to reapply for that bed on Friday. And so that process is going to require a lot more coordination. So to make this work, to make this succeed, you're going to need to have that coordination. And I don't know how quickly we can put that coordination together if we're talking about trying to do this in the next month. I don't know how quickly you can create the kind of coordination required to truly create a safety net so that we're not just looking at this problem, but with less tents in 3, 4, 5 weeks.
All right. Boston City Councilor Ricardo Arroyo, who is the chair of the Council's Committee on Public Health. Can we invite you back, please, as this unfolds to check in again about
Absolutely. How
great. That would be great. And thank you so much. I know your time was tight today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to dive a little deeper here. You have heard us talk on the show before with WBUR reporter Deborah Becker, who has been following closely. Deb is at Mass and Cass right now. Deb, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So let's just start. I know you could hear Councilor Arroyo there. Let me just ask you for your responses to what you just heard.
Well, I think that that's the issue. The things that he's saying are the key issue. How exactly is this going to be implemented? I know that Mayor Janey has said that removing these encampments will not happen unless there are other avenues for shelter explored for people and they have a place to go. But even if there is a place to go, even if there is a shelter bed, there are all kinds of complications with the system as it exists now. So coordinating that appropriately is only going to move these encampments somewhere else, unless it's done right. So I think he has some legitimate questions about how this order will be implemented.
Okay, so you've been there all day, Deb. What are you seeing?
I would say it's still a humanitarian crisis, for lack of a better word. One street tents have been cleared off, but that was done before Mayor Janey's order. It started before then, and there's fencing up now, and there are no tents on one street, but many of those tents have been moved to nearby streets. There's dozens and dozens of tents lining the street. There are lots of people openly using drugs, and people nodding off. I met one activist and walked around a bit, and we came across a woman who was it was awful. I mean, she was passed out on the sidewalk and didn't appear to be breathing well, and he was trying to help her. He did get her upright, and she became very agitated and told him to leave her alone, and she eventually just walked away. And I don't know what happened to her. It's difficult to see. There's a lot of trash, a lot of human excrement on the streets. and lack of a better term, I guess, it's like a humanitarian crisis.
Yeah, that is a dark picture. Have you been able to speak to anybody living in the area today?
Yes, I spoke with a lot of people about the mayor's plan. Many people knew about it. Many people think that it's a good idea. They're really concerned about what's going to happen down here once the cold weather sets in and people try to find ways to stay warm, especially at night. There was a small fire in an encampment reported early this morning here. No one hurt, but of course that's a real fear of people. What are people doing to try to have electricity, to try to have heat here? And of course, it's a real hazard. So many people think that something needs to be done. They don't necessarily know if Mayor Janey's plan is the exact way to do it, because they're concerned that what's going to happen is that people's belongings will be taken if they don't go somewhere, and there won't be appropriate places for them to go. And just clearing out the tents doesn't solve the deeper problem.
So you were telling us about a 23-year-old man. He went by the name Cabby. He doesn't want to use his real name. He goes down there, I think you said, to buy drugs regularly. Can I play that sound for you?
Sure.
Yeah.
It is its own community with little sub-communities, because you got to remember there's Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, a couple of people that are Asian. There's a lot of white people. And a lot of black people. So it's like all these sub-communities within this little community. It's like a city. It's almost like a city within a city.
That's striking, Deb, when sort of juxtaposed with the crisis, the woman in crisis that you just told me about, clearly not being supported by a community around her. I mean, talk about that disruption.
Well, I think that, you know, there are people who are... It's a bunch of people, but there is in certain areas where people are very concentrated, there does feel that there is almost a sense of community. I ran across a woman who comes down at least three times a week and just drops off food. She opens the back of her van and yells, "Food, food," and she has all these bags of meals that she's handing out to people. Now, she wouldn't give me her full name, but I said, "Why do you do this?" And she said, "Look at it down here. It's all I can do to try to help people." So there are certain pockets where it feels like people have created their own community down here. There are people who are selling food out of their tents. They're making food and selling food and drinks. It's surreal. It's very very different. But I would say that most people that I've spoken with, again, do think that it's not the way to live, and appropriate housing and treatment and services would be the way to go here.
Why do you think the plan's coming out now, Deb?
I think it's coming out now because I think there's a lot of pressure on the city, and there are so many people living down here, and there's increased crime down here, and people are getting hurt, and it's become an issue in the mayor's race. And I think that people are saying something has to be done. The businesses are saying that they've had to add security, they can't conduct business, and I just think that there's been a ton of pressure.
So to that point, you also had sent in to us some sound from Sue Sullivan, who's the executive director of the New Market Business Association, who's hopeful about the plan. Here's the sound you sent us.
Whoever is our next mayor needs to follow through and even bring out more initiatives to this end. And we need to have the state legislature on board. We need to have the mayors of other and select boards of other cities and towns on board for everyone to do so. We have the opportunity here to become a model.
And Deb, it does strike me. So acting Boston Mayor Kim Janey does this. There's a mayoral election in 2 weeks. 2 weeks after that, the swearing in of a new mayor. Concerns about continuity, encouragement that this sets a standard for the new mayor. Are you hearing anything about that?
I think, you know, business leaders say that this is a good first step. And it's acting Mayor Janey saying, we know that something needs to be done here. I'm going to make the first step toward doing something, and whoever her successor is will then have to follow through and make sure that some type of plan is implemented to deal with what's going on in the Mass and Cass area.
All right, that is WBUR's Deb Becker. Deb, I know you're going to continue to follow this. You've been following it with us. We really appreciate it. We are going to want to talk to you again. Thank you.
You're welcome.